And good morning. So glad you're listening to the Good News Station today. This is WCNO in Palm City, Florida. Keep your dial set right there at 89.9. And we are going to have a great morning. I am glad to have David Francoeur.
Glad
in
to
the
be
studio.
Here. Yep.
And Miss Karen is down the hall trying to work with IT people and all kinds of technicians. And if you missed a piece of your programs there over the last hour, we have had a little bit of our in-house software struggling. And incidentally, David, we are going to be getting new computers in production computers, and we're also going to have new software.
Praise God!
And so I hope you're feeling young and smart, because we're going to have to learn a lot of stuff around here. But, for you, our family, many of you know that over the last 30 years, some of the equipment that was used to build the station, actually more than 30 years, we're about, 33 years?
Coming up on 34.
So we had equipment that was 20, 30 years old. And the transmitter was replaced. Many of you gave toward that. That was awesome. And that is replaced. It's working well. And as far as we know, everything at our tower end is working great. In studio, we are in need of upgrading here. And actually, we already had the order placed, and the equipment is, some of it's in town, some of it's coming, and we'll be coming in with our IT team. But this is just, it's part of being blessed of God to have been here 33 years.
Yes.
That we get to upgrade, we get to rebuild. And I want to thank all of you that have been a part of that process. And so that's something going on. And as soon as we get all of that back up and working, we'll get the regular programs back. But this is Wednesday Live, and we come to you every Wednesday at 11 a.m. And so today we're back with you. Brandon, our intern. Did we beat you up too bad?
No, not at all.
I won't call you a victim. You know, you have been a most delightful part of our team here at WCNO over the last several weeks. We're into, 3 months, something like that, maybe a little better.
Yes.
What have you picked up while you've been here?
Well, what I have picked up is that running a radio station, it is not easy. Of course, like I said before, it is not easy, but as well as while being here, and of course, summarizing, remembering all the conversations I had with David, with you, Karen, I can definitely say that while I was doing that, and while I was also at the same time, I was looking up how Christian radio works, and also what goes into it, what makes it different from secular radio, is that not only does it, reach out to people that are like curious or reach out to any believers, but it also serves as a way to remind us of like the good news.
Amen. Amen.
It's a great reminder of the good news.
Well, indeed it is. Indeed it is. And so, Brandon, it's been a delight to have you with us. And, of course, I've already given you an invitation to join us during prayer and share on at least one of those days. And we'd like very much for you to join us. And, who knows? We might even say, hey, Brandon, come down here and take charge of the main control center, and grab a mic and let you move some buttons around. Because, David, all of us who work here, we've taken the station off air before, right?
Oh, yes.
It takes special time. Talent to do that, and as manager, that was part of my training. Learn how to mess things up, and then maybe we'll learn how to get them back on air. All right, I want to welcome Stephanie Jacobson. Stephanie Jacobson, you were in a parking lot at Grace Emanuel Church. I was there to pick up a lawnmower.
Yes.
With, I think I had maybe my son and another one of our congregants that was with us to help us do that. And I just thought you were part of Grace Emanuel Church, and you were hanging out because you had nothing better to do.
And I thought you were part of Grace Emanuel Church.
You did? Okay. And actually, we're both coming in there from other places, and Pastor Sam and Susie, they really are used of God to bring a lot of important things together. So here we were in the parking lot. But very quickly, I found out that you're involved in pro-life and that you have personally a story that It's a God story, and it's a story about why life matters so much and how God worked in your life. And we want to get into that this morning a little bit. So I know that that you're a part of CareNet.
I am. I'm on the board of CareNet, yes.
Excellent. You're part of their team. And I also know that you went to Tallahassee, I think, recently, right?
Did. We went up there and canvassed the Capitol. That was exciting.
Excellent.
And it was fruitful. Things are changing, and I hope at some point we can talk about that, maybe at a different time, and because it takes a little bit of time, but it's something I think that the listeners really need to be aware, and that a little advice. I know that everybody thinks, stay away from politics, stay away, but our voice can change the nation. Our single voice. When I was working in politics in Missouri, I heard a senator tell me that he got 12 phone calls that changed his attitude on some on a way he voted.
12 phone calls made a difference.
12 phone calls.
So
please,
it matters.
Yes, it does.
Your
and you don't
matters.
Have to go up there when we call action to make a phone call. Please don't hesitate
to make that call.
That's right.
And you're absolutely right. I know we have some listeners that may take the position. And I remember my mother, as she was getting older, she had hip issues and different things, you know. And mom said, you know, I don't think I'm going to worry about voting this time because, you know, I'm just one vote. And here you are saying 13 votes made a huge difference, or 13 individuals
phone
who
calls,
were
yeah.
voters
wow.
that could just make a call could make a big difference. And the other side, you address that quite well also, and that is, I do receive mail and I do receive phone calls from some of our family that say, we just think the church ought to focus on reaching lost people and stay out of politics. This is how we got where we are.
That's right.
Because the church has stayed in its buildings instead of getting into the marketplace. Jesus ministered mostly in the marketplace.
Yes.
He got thrown out of the synagogues. And so, you know, there was a reason for that, because his message cut across all of the big church, big business, big prophets, big heads, you know, and all that was going on in the temple. And so, once again, we have some cultural crises that only God can take care of. And we can make a difference. All right, let's jump right into your story. So what brought you to where you are today? I mean, what happened in your life?
Well, it started when I was very, very young. I was only one cell. God created life. And it is happening all the time, every day. And God has brought me to a place right now that my voice is being heard because of the testimony that he's given me, and that he's made beauty out of ashes.
Awesome.
And so one of the things that I like to say when I begin to speak to anyone is, it's been said that no little girl ever dreams of becoming a prostitute. Unequivocally, I can tell you that no little girl ever sits around and dreams about having an abortion.
No.
But I've had two abortions, and I'll just take you back a little bit to my childhood, and you know, this isn't going to be a real pretty testimony, but there's time restraints, so I'm not going to be able to get into everything. But what I pray that the listeners will hear is a life that at times looks ugly and broken, but actually it's a story of three things, and it's repentance, forgiveness, and restitution and redemption. God has redeemed my story. I was raised in a two-parent family home, Christian home. My family went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every last Saturday night of the month.
Yes,
Thursday.
You were in church.
I was in church.
A lot of people think, you know, if you're in church, that fixes everything.
You know, it doesn't, because sin doesn't worry about the threshold it's crossing. Yeah. It crosses, you know. People think, well, if I walk into church, you know, they're hypocrites, and it's too perfect, I can't. Well, if I walk into a church and it's perfect, it's no longer perfect, because that's just not how that works.
So you grew up in church, so you had knowledge of the word and such forth, but
I did. I loved Jesus.
That doesn't mean that the enemy didn't come after you. So what happened?
That's right. You know, and my parents sang in a gospel quartet, so I was we were always doing something. But my mother, who passed away a year ago, taught me something that has stuck with me all my life, and that is be faithful in the small things. And one of her small things was when that church doors were open at our home church, we were there. We didn't go places and sing, and it was. And now I'm realizing, I go now to Discovery Church with Pastor Tim O'Carroll, and I'm telling you, I'm finding fellowship there.
That's awesome.
And it is amazing. And I love fellowshipping with Sue and Sam Chess over at Grace Emanuel. I mean, they are mentoring. She even spoke into my life this morning before I came down here and just gave me some real encouragement. And so it's always good to have people and fellowship with people like that.
So how did you get into the mess? I mean, this is the plan of the enemy to destroy us. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. So
that's right.
What did he nail you down with?
Well, my family was safe. And so I didn't understand the bigger picture of what the world looked like. I was raised in a real safe place.
You're sheltered a little.
I was. My folks were very
protective.
Very protective.
Sure.
And one thing I remember as a little girl thinking, I want to get married, have children, grow old with my husband, because I loved what I had as a little girl. It was good. But at 14, a tragedy fractured our home. And my safe little world just didn't feel quite so safe anymore. And I began to realize that there was something else out there. About that same time, it was junior high school. I met a young man that really was interested in, but I couldn't date till I was 16. So come high school, we started dating. And I kind of began to reason with myself. The thoughts, you know, the enemy likes to put seeds into your head called thoughts. Mm. And when we don't take those captive, like the Bible tells us to do, and at 16, I didn't really understand how to take those things captive because this was all new.
Right.
You know, we don't think of liking someone as a bad thing.
Right.
But the enemy is, man, that's such a tender spot for people, for kids, you know, that age. And now it's even younger. But education is a really big part of my ministry now, and my ministry is to post-abortive women, but my passion is to these kids before they ever get to the place.
So you're one of those kids.
I was one of those kids, yeah. And God was gracious, but the thought of never having sex before marriage was a real thought. But then I started reasoning with myself. Well, this is possible. I mean, you date to be married, right?
Sure.
That's what you date. Yeah. And that plan of never having sex before marriage began to kind of break down. And marriage is a real possibility here. So within 6 months of us dating, I was pregnant and we had our first abortion.
Mm. And you were how old at that time?
I was 16.
16. Oh. 16. Okay.
16. And people ask me now, they say, how in the world could you have been a Christian and had an abortion? And I was talking to a mentor this morning, and I said, you know, she said, Stephanie, that is a really slippery slope.
Yeah.
It is, sin is slippery. Yeah. And you don't think you're getting into it, but all of a sudden your foot's caught. And then, you know, you're just there. And
the enemy loves dead-end streets where you have no place to go. Yeah,
and I was running down it really, really fast. Yes. Didn't know it. But Planned Parenthood, which is where I got my first abortion, they didn't do anything to help. You know, Roe v. Wade was only I'm ancient here. Roe v. Wade was only 5 years old at the time. And even though it's not a law, it was made out to be that, well, our country believes that it's okay. And it didn't even cross my mind that it wasn't okay, because...
So would you say you were led blindly, maybe pushed by the enemy? And
you know, Pastor, I was covering something, and people want to think that we're covering up the abortion. I wasn't the pregnancy. Mm. Pregnancy is not a sin.
Yeah, right.
I was covering up the fact that I was having sex.
Yeah,
and that was the sin that caught me, and then. As it deteriorated my thought of who God said I was, then it became an internal struggle of how do I get out of this? Well, I lost all sight of what he said I was, and I just didn't you know, you don't think of.
So what did you come? So you have an abortion. You're 16 years old.
Yeah.
What did that do to you? What were you thinking?
I buried it.
You had to stop.
Literally buried it. And
did you realize that was alive?
No.
Okay. Okay.
And people go, "How did you not know?"
Yeah.
Well, today we've got 3D sonograms. Back then we had to go to a book to see anything. I had not. My mom and I had not had conversations about that.
Wow.
And so I didn't know. I mean, when I was sitting in their counseling room before they take you back to do this, I was looking at the woman across the counter, and my boyfriend was out in the car, and she tried to explain to me what was going on. You know, this is nothing. This is not going to be a big deal. It's just, you know, you can feel like you're a mild period, whatnot. And I was like, okay, whatever. You know, let's just get this over with. But I realized that I needed to get his opinion. And so I asked them, can I go out and get my boyfriend? And they said, no, he can't help you with this now, but we can. And so there was the other lie. I mean, just lie upon lie, and lies create chaos.
So we're not going to have time to go into all the details, but how do we get from there to where you end up again being pregnant?
Okay, so my boyfriend went to college. He was a year older than me, and he got involved with somebody there. Well, I spiraled. And spiraling can look different for other people, for everybody. So some people spiral with drugs and alcohol. Some people spiral, you know, with working too much or whatever.
Sure.
I spiraled with more sex.
Okay.
Because I needed to feel like I was okay.
Yeah.
And I needed
Being accepted.
Yep.
You're being valued.
Yep. Yeah. And I got pregnant again. No one knew about that pregnancy. And in the cloak of darkness, it seemed more imminent than the first one. So
how old are you at this
time? I'm 17 and a half at that
point. Oh, my goodness. Almost, just a year and a half out.
Yeah. Almost 18.
Okay.
So these were before I was 18 years old. I mean, it's...
Wow.
And so I'll tell you about some of them. My brain is going to a different direction. I won't go down there yet. But let me just tell you about someone who has an abortion. There's something that we know now that's called post-abortion syndrome symptoms. And it's PTSD. The trauma in the PTSD is the abortion. But we call it the post-abortion syndrome symptoms. And these symptoms can range anything in PTSD, okay? But the one that caught me hard was anger. And you know, when you pull life out of a woman, she becomes angry. Mm. Our country is angry.
Yeah.
Why do we have an angry country? There's been 65 million abortions since 1972. And we haven't even addressed the women. Here's why I went to Tallahassee last week was because we believe in this country that it's health care for women. Sir, I was diagnosed with bipolar 8 years after I got married because I was so angry and my emotions were a roller coaster. And
so how much time is there between the second abortion and marriage?
My first boyfriend and I got back together.
Wow.
I got married. We got back together, got engaged. And, of course, sex was still happening.
Right.
I got pregnant again. And we both looked at each other and said, it's time to get married. He was graduating college. I was working. And the night before we got married, I had a miscarriage. No one knew. Not a soul knew. I about died on our honeymoon. I had to go to the hospital. My marriage suffered drastically because I did not know that I needed healing from this. Yeah. I needed God to take care of it. Our marriage went on 33 years, 5 children, 14 grandchildren. I mean, after 8 years ago, he left. And part of it's because there was abortion in our past and we hadn't dealt with it.
So there was healing that was never
40 years.
40 years. You carried this?
Yes.
How many people are in that place today? I mean, if we've had 65 million abortions, and of course some have had multiple, you know, like...
Well, I have people that tell me, well, you can't count 65 million abortions, 65 million mothers and fathers, because there's been multiple on different individuals. And I say every single abortion affects a mother differently. Mm-hmm. And so every life needs to be accounted for. So there's 65 million wounds out there.
Yeah, and that's huge.
1972, that's huge. We've got a huge number of these people that are still that's living. Huge. So it's not, you know, there's only 333 million people in the United States.
Mm.
So you take 65 million of that of women, and then you've got the men. So you do the math. I'm not good at it. Sorry.
Okay. So we have about 9-10 minutes left.
Okay. Yep.
And we definitely want to get to where you are today, because you are not that same person that was used and abused by the enemy and then tried to manage this privately, internally. So how did you get to where you are today?
I went to a post-abortion ministry in Kansas City, Missouri, where I'm from. And they walked me through healing. Now, it was 40 years. 40 in the Bible means captivity, which
is a long time.
But it also means deliverance.
Mm.
And at that minute, God delivered me, and I knew. And, you know, even in that moment, he told me that I needed to be able to walk into an office and make a difference for life. I didn't know what office I was going to be walking into.
Wow.
But I went into Democrats' offices last week. I went into Republicans because life is a bipartisan issue here.
Sure.
It is not just a partisan thing. And health of the mother is, you know, if we can find these mamas. But that's been my calling. God did something for me 7 years ago. It was two dreams in two nights, the same women, millions of them. And I realized they were in battle fatigues.
Wow.
And God said, these women represent who you are. And they're out there. Now you go find them.
Find them. So this transformation, you had a spiritual encounter with God where there was major healing that began.
Mm-hmm.
And then this became a journey. Mm-hmm. So now you're involved. So, you know, sharing a little bit about that vision. So what do you do now?
Well, I'd like to give a call to action to the people that are out listening, men and women.
Okay.
There's three different ways that I'm involved in. There's numerous ministries out there, but the three that I'm involved in, first of all, CareNet. CareNet has a huge impact on the nation, but here in the Treasure Coast, we have one of the most amazing, amazing units here, ministries here. We've got CareNet TC, and we have three different
locations.
Yeah, there's in Port St. Lucie, one in Darwin, and one in Stewart. And you can come in there. We have a post-abortion ministry called Redeeming Freedom, and there's a lady by the name of Connie that I work with really closely that I help facilitate these classes.
Okay.
And so it's just a beautiful time of restitution for these women and men. And we also have a men's group, too, that Kevin takes care of. You can call CareNet and talk to them, and they'll point you in the right direction.
That number?
I don't have it right.
You don't have the number? Do you have
That's
a web page?
Terrible. We do. You can go to, you can actually put in CareNet TC. We have a gala that's coming up, though, on March 7th or 8th. Dr. Abby Johnson is going to be our guest speaker, and we would love for anyone that wants to go to CareNet TC gala and find us on the internet and sign up for that. It's free to come. The education that you're going to get is amazing that night, and we're going to have fun that night. I get to have fun now, but it's been a long road getting here. That number is 772-828-3168. And I know that...
One more time.
Yes, sir. It's 772-828-3168, and Maria will be glad to take your phone call and put you where you need to go.
And the web address?
It's carenettc.com. .org, I believe.
This is a test. Stephanie, this is a test.
Sue's going to go, Stephanie.
CareNetTC.com.
.com, okay.
Okay, CareNetTC.com.
Okay.
Stephanie, okay, so you're giving a call out to people.
Mm-hmm.
So healing is not just encountering God. It's not just coming to truth and dealing with it, but it's also maybe making a difference.
It is.
And getting involved.
Okay, so the other thing that they can do, if you've had an abortion and you want to be on your computer and do some help, get on OperationOutcry.org and sign the declaration. I work with the Justice Foundation that they are gathering declarations from men and women who have had abortions, and what that will do is they take it to the different states, to the different legal aspect, put them in the briefs. That's what helped turn Roe v. Wade over. The women and the men that
started
that did
standing
this,
up.
Yes, and we are, besides the sonograms and things that women are seeing now, the women that have these stories are standing up, and
that's
we're
awesome.
Making a difference. It is
that's
so
awesome.
Beautiful. It really, truly is. So.
So there's a lot more to the story. You went to Tallahassee. We don't have time to get into that today, but basically, what was that about? What was the?
Well, I called Sue and said, hey, I'd like to go up there with you for Life Days. They have Life Days every year, and it's run by the Florida Family Policy Council, and it is an amazing 2 days that just kind of brings people from all over the state to the Capitol. You get to canvass the Capitol, find your state representative or your senator, and go and talk to them about life. But I just want to testify that I've been in Missouri with this. I helped speak before the Congress and the Senate to help turn over to the 15-week ban. I come to Florida, and y'all have something special here. And it, Sue even told me, she said, the atmosphere is changing. We heard men and women on the podium that it sounded more like they were saying that they were taking the gospel into the Capitol. And then they'd tell us a little bit about what bills they had. It wasn't this bill report. It was more, this is what God is doing, and this is what's happening with the bills. We were so excited
this
to hear that.
Very encouraging.
Oh,
wow.
We were
encouraging.
So excited.
Stephanie, I'm going to invite you to hang out with us if
yes,
you
sir.
Want to for the rest of our 30 minutes. We do have some other guests, and if we get some more time before we close, we'd like to have you jump back in.
Sure.
We definitely want to close today with a focused time of prayer. Maybe for people who have done what you did, stuffed it down, pushed it away. I guess it's part of survival to say that painful season of my life, I want to just, get rid of it. We definitely want to pray for people who are there. Some who are just listening saying, I'm still embarrassed about that, really don't want to go there yet, but just really need a touch of God to know that you can be healed, you can be set free. So we're going to want to pray that way. So it's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having you come back at another time. But stand by. We're going to have you close out our morning with prayer. We are going to make a call to Kemar, and let me see if I can get a hold of him right now. David, do you have any notes from our family? And I'm going to try to get the phone number dialed up here so I can reach out to Kemar.
I think a donation came in from Marilee in Vero Beach, and she included a postcard which has a picture of a DC-3, which is in front of the hangar of the Mission Flight, International. They operate a fleet of these DC-3s, providing air support to biblical missions in the West Indies.
Wow.
All right, missionary work.
Missionary work, impressive. And so thank you, Marilee, for that. Wonderful. These airframes, they started building them in the 30s.
Wonderful. Wow, they've been around a long time.
They're workhorse. Wonderful. Workhorse.
All right, so. we're reaching out to Kemar. Let's see if we're going to reach him here.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, good morning. We're live on air. Is this Kemar?
Yeah, Kemar speaking. How are you today?
We are doing well. Listen, you are a new business partner with us at WCNO, and we welcome you. Thank you so much. This is not our first journey as partners in the kingdom together, because you do a lot of other things, ministry, and I think you have big concerts, and you do some other stuff too. But as a business partner, you have a business. God's blessed you with some talents. Tell me where you are and what you do.
Well, Gallimore Motor Group, located in Lake Park, it's 950 Old Dixie, Unit 5 and 6. And services is auto repair, we do auto sales, auto financing, and, you know, rentals, etc. And we have a lot of great deals. We have even special deals for like people with no social, no ITIN, people who are working hard and, you know, they want to get into a car, they don't have the cash money up front. They can make a small down payment and, you know, we give them a low monthly payment at a very low interest rate. So we are very competitive, very aggressive on the market.
So okay.
You guys can, you know, check us out. Our website is GallimoreMotorGroupLLC.com. And as I said, we're located in Lake Park, Florida.
Okay, one more time, a little slower. Gallimore Motor Group.
LLC.com.
LLC, so you've got to put the LLC in, .com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the name of the company, yeah.
Gallimore Motor Group, LLC.com. And so you, your primary market is used cars?
Yeah, mainly used car. We do what work is that we do new cars also. Even if we don't have something on the lot, we can get it. So if a customer come in and they say they want something specific, we can have it within 24 to 48 hours. So it's like a pre-order thing, but we have a lot of used cars on the lot also. The regular cars that people buy every day, like the Toyota, Honda, the Camry, Hyundai's, you know, Infinities, you know, we have, you know, a wide range to choose from.
And of course, you know what you're doing, so when you're looking at used vehicles, I'm sure there's a process that you go through to make sure that you're getting a vehicle that's going to provide some good service. You know, a lot of times when someone's looking for a used car, and I have knowledge of some friends right now that you know, in the industry, sometimes in the used car industry, there's this question of you know, who can I trust? And yes. And so I'm thrilled to have a brother, a believer, who is in the industry, who knows the industry, and tell us a little bit about. So I show up, you know, at your place, and I'm looking to get a good used vehicle. What's happened before that shows up on your lot, or before you actually bring it to me?
Well, before you actually purchase a car, we normally send you, if you're going to do financing, we want to send you the finance application.
Okay.
Gallimore Motor Group LLC. We have both websites. We have both GallimoreMotorGroup.com and Gallimore Motor Group LLC. So whichever one. Normally, I use the one Gallimore Motor Group for the financing. And you do the financing. So that way, when you do the financing, before you get to the dealership, we already pull your credit. We, you know, we already in dialogue with our affiliated finance company. We can tell you rate that you're going to be getting, everything, before you waste your time and come to the dealership.
So this could all be done by a phone call?
Yeah. In a phone call, we can do it.
Sure, or online.
Or online.
Okay.
We can do it in a phone call or online. You can send a picture of, you know, the specific car that you said you're interested in, so you can see. And then when you come on down, then when you come to the shop, that's the time where you're going to test drive. Some people, they come with their mechanic, to, you know, the mobile mechanic, just for them to feel comfortable. And we have in-house mechanic, but, you know, we want you to bring your own mechanic for you to make you feel comfortable. Because they're used cars, and they're no guarantee a used car. We fix them to the best of our knowledge, and we sell them.
Okay.
So we sell service warranties also, especially when we're doing financing. We put gap on it and all of that, so that the customer is protected in every way possible. Because, you know, used car, they don't give any warning when they're going to break. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But to the best of our knowledge, we make sure that the car is in excellent condition, engine, transmission is good, And as you said, we have in-house mechanic. So we our mechanic will go through the used car thoroughly to make sure that everything is good to the best of our knowledge.
Sure.
So that our customer can be happy.
So there is actually a careful review of the key components on the vehicle to make sure, as I mean, you can't see everything, understood, but you do your very best to check the mechanical and operational on the vehicle to make sure that it's in good condition. All right, now phone number. What's a phone number somebody wanted if someone's wanting to reach out to you? What number would they call?
Well, the number to call is 561-563-1969. Again, 561-563-1969. And it's Gallimore Motor Group. You can ask Gallimore. I answer the phone sometime. My office manager answer the phone, Amanda, sometime. She'll pick up. You know, feel free to ask any question. You know, as I said, if you want something specific, and we don't have it on the lot, we can have it within 24 to 48 hours on our lot for you. As long as you have proof, and we know that, you know, you're serious about the purchase.
So, Kemar, you know, as we're talking this morning, we have people listening from Melbourne, Florida, you know, out around Lake Okeechobee and all the way down into Miami. Yes. We have people telling us they're hearing this strong.
Customers as far as New York, I have people calling and they buy cars from here.
Good.
And I transport it also to the door in New York. So, you know, it doesn't matter. People come from Miami.
Sure.
Port St. Lucie to buy cars from my dealership. I have customers, a lot of customers in Port St. Lucie. I have customers in Illinois who will come down. You have people from Atlanta that will come and buy the car, and, you know, we transport it down for them.
Okay.
Because they know that they're coming, they're getting a good deal. So the people will drive, you know, a good distance for a good deal.
Sure, well, they want to get value, and they want to be dealing with someone that that is trustworthy, and I think that's really a really big deal. And so that leads me to my second question, and we have a couple minutes left here, but I know that you're a man of God, that yes. That you're not just a religious brother, you're a man of God, you walk with God, you minister. How did that happen? I mean, how did you come to Christ? Give us a little snippet of your God story.
Yeah, so that's what, you know, make my business flourish, because, you know, God is the foundation of my business. And I'm first a child of God before a businessman.
Amen.
And that's why so many people, you know, trust me. I have a lot of people, pastors, that will bring their members from the church to buy cars from me. And that's all, you know, but when it all started, I got saved because I was originally, I'm back in Trenchtown. I was born and grew up raised in a community called Rima Trenchtown in Jamaica.
Okay.
And you know, it was very volatile there. You know, I grew up, you know, see a lot of stuff around me. You know, people die, gang war, violence, and I still managed to hold my head up in a community. I remember there was a point when I was caught up in the Rastafarian religion. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And, you know, Church on the Rock launched an outreach ministry. There's a church called Church on the Rock in Jamaica. They launched a ministry in the community. They would call our community garrison or inner city. And we saw people coming out, they didn't know tracks. And one day they invite me to a Bible study. And I went over there and I sat there. And, you know, I was going there to look some girls because, you know, I want to find a nice girl from the church. And I sat in there and I saw a lot of girls there. They were speaking in tongues. And when the preacher started to preach and say, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And totally broadcast the word, there was a tugging on my heart. And he asked me if I want to give my life to God, and I put my hand up half-heartedly because I was struggling, because I could hear voices in my head say to make the move, and I hear something say don't, and I push. And he prayed for me, and then when he prayed for me that night, you know, ever since I started to sing some of those same praise and worship songs, because I'm an artist, I'm a musician, so I catch on to songs quickly. And one day I was having a shower and I just find myself starting worshiping in my bathroom while showering. And while I was showering, worshiping God, I felt the Holy Spirit came upon me. I'd never experienced anything like that. I started to cry out in my bathroom to Jesus Christ, bawling out. And that's when I knew that I was truly saved, because no one cometh unto the Father unless the Spirit of God draws him. So it was a drawing of the Holy Spirit saying to come out of darkness and come into his marvelous light. And that was that has been from 1997. And I'm still standing. I'm still here.
Amen.
In the work of God.
The keeping power of God.
It never stops.
Kemar, we're almost out of time. We're going to be talking to you some more, I know, down the road, because it's a delight to be partners. And since I'm a Floridian, I can't really talk like you. You know, you have that accent. I was going to ask you if you were a Southerner, you know, but you have that island accent. And I actually grew up with Jamaicans because my father did a lot of missionary work, you know, down in the Glades back in the day. And so I love the accent, but I love your testimony, and I love the power of God that's working in the body of Christ right now. And you're gifted with automobiles. You know, God's gifted you. And this is your natural gift, but your spiritual gift, of course, is music and ministry and so many other things. Once again, tell us the name of your business there and how people can get a hold of you. Once it's so good to have you on air today.
Yeah, the business is Gallimore Motor Group LLC. And if you put it in Google search, it will pop up. You'll see the location 950 Old Dixie Highway, Unit 5 and 6. And Gallimore Motor Group is the main sponsor for Gospel to the World, that gospel event I normally do every year.
Big event.
I try to give back to the community in the form of a concert every year and bring some very good artists from all over in the Caribbean island, you know, people over here in the U.S. also. So, you know, it's for a worthy cause. We try to reach the lost at any cost.
Amen.
It is the main company that, you know, it is the backbone to the ministry, because as I said to you, I'm first a child of God before a businessman. And, you know, I put God first in everything I do. So
Amen.
He is the foundation of Gallimore Motor Group.
Amen. That's awesome. So your web address again is?
GallimoreMotorGroupLLC.com.
All right.
561-563-1969. Again, 561-563-1969. Give us a call, and we'll be sure to put you in the car of your choice.
Hey, listen, I want to come down and see you someday, and I'm going to see if you know of any place that has some good oxtail.
yes, we do. We do have that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe some good jerk too. I like jerk jerk goat, or is it curry goat, or is it, you know, you guys know. Yeah. I pick on my Jamaican friends, and they say, "Nah, that's not that. It's curry goat and jerk chicken." Right, but I said, I think I had jerk goat one time. Maybe they ran out of chicken. I don't know. But listen, great to have you on air with us. God bless you. And we'll be connecting real soon. And, of course, to all of our family, you're going to hear some partnership spots that are going to be played in reference to our partnership. So thank you for joining us here at WCNO and Lifting Up Jesus Christ.
It's a pleasure. God bless you, Jonathan.
Thank you. God bless you as well. Thank you. Take care. Bye. Karen, do you have anything from our listeners? And then we're going to go to another call. Actually, I had your line shut off. Did you fix everything? It looks like things are working.
Yes, it seems to be working quite well right
you
now.
You successfully got your sledgehammer out and beat on a few things?
There was like people in all directions. We got cell phones hooked up with landlines.
Yeah, trying.
And then cell phone to another cell phone. That was crazy.
Well, I think we have time for maybe one or two if you have any of your mail or notes with you. I am getting ready to put a call in to Dave Cantrell, very longtime friend of mine, and his congregation down at the Grace Place has a special men's event coming up this Saturday. Share with us what you have, Karen, and I'm going to make my call.
Yes, we had received a note here from Heather. Heather, who used to be up in this area and is now down in Miami, she said, "Dear WCNO Radio, thank you for all you do at the station. The programs and music constantly uplift and encourage my soul and spirit. May God bless you as this new year begins. With gratitude and appreciation, Heather." And she sent that in along with her donation.
That is awesome.
Amen.
You have one more short one?
Yes, there's one short one here. And this is from Jackie in Boynton Beach. And she said, "I am late. paying on her pledge, which you're never late.
Never late.
Never late, never Jackie. Late. Never, never.
You're always on time.
Never late.
We appreciate
all right.
your giving heart, though.
Yeah, we thank you, and to all of you. Yeah, let's see if I have David Cantrell on the phone. Are you with us?
Yes, you do.
Do you know a lady by the name of Stephanie Jacobson?
Yes, I do.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie. God bless you.
And you, sir.
I know, Dave, you're also a brother that loves to promote life. We know Jesus came to give life and give it abundant. Abundant.
Yes, sir.
Abundant life. David, we're excited. You have a men's event coming up that we need to get the word out on. Tell us about it. Tell us how that's going to work and how people can get involved.
All right. We're having a No Regrets Conference. This year, Saturday, this coming Saturday, the doors open at 8 o'clock at the Grace Place. It's entitled Fearless is a title out of Isaiah 41:10. And we're encouraging all the guys on the Treasure Coast to come and join the group. And when you'll be fearless men of God and strengthen our walk with Christ every day. We need to be men of God on the Treasure Coast.
All right, so where's the Grace Place?
1550 Southeast Salerno Road. And the phone number that you can call for scholarships, we have a few scholarships left, is 772-287-6388. If you need a scholarship, please call the office. It'll set you up. The registration fee is $30, which includes lunch. And it'll be a great day. We have some great speakers coming that'll encourage the men and help us to become more fearless for Christ.
All right, who are the guests that are going to be speaking?
Okay, we're featuring three guys: Chip Ingram, Kenny Luck, and Ricky Jenkins. These men are seasoned pastors and writers, and they have a good word for us to hear. So I'm excited about all three of them. That they'll be very interesting and very inspiring, and give us a good shot in the arm spiritually.
All right, so it's $30, which includes lunch, and really this $30 is basically covering cost of bringing the event together. So that's very reasonable. I don't know what it costs to go to the movies these days, but I know you can go to the movies and a lot of times leave and almost think I should have paid them not to go, but a men's conference, this is an opportunity to invest into your future with God, and it is so important. Many times when we're younger, we're in school, then we're in college, and maybe in advanced education, or we go to different seminars and conferences, and we think about, hey, I've got to up the game so I can make a better living. Let me just encourage you today that you should be investing into your eternal life. And up the game in your walk with God. Up that area of your life, because that will impact your family. It will impact your relationship with your children. And it's going to impact your relationship with your job. It's going to impact every aspect of your life. And so, one day, David, I was talking to a young man who had got himself in trouble, and he was going to be put into a little juvenile facility for a while, and I was so disappointed after talking with him. I said, listen, why don't you set aside 9 months to a year, go into a program,
yes.
And just say, this is my time to figure out what really matters and to get things right in my life. And that young man told me that day, he said, I don't have the time to do that. And unfortunately, I've seen many people meander their way as if they're a lost goose, and I'm not sure what a lost goose would look like, but I'm just thinking they meander their way through life. They run into this barrier, that barrier, without ever really getting a touchdown. And let me tell you, we're all going to have a day when it's our day to take that last breath, and we're aiming for the prize. So I want to encourage you as wives to say, listen, honey, why don't we just cancel plans for Saturday? You know, why don't you save the money you were going to spend on gas, put a few bucks of that, you know, in your boat. You're going to go out fishing, pull a few of those bucks and throw it at improving your walk with God. And maybe you have a son. What are the ages? What would you say, Dave, as far as fathers bringing their sons to this event?
I'd bring teenagers and up.
Teenagers and up. Okay.
Teenagers and up. Yes, sir. I think it'd be great for them. And once again, if you're let me go over the particulars of this again. If you're having issues with finances, we do have a few scholarships left. So call the church at 772-287-6388. And if you want to register, you can go online. The website is thegraceplace.com/no-regrets. You can register there. And again, the address is 1550 Southeast Salerno Road. Saturday morning, doors open at 8 o'clock. So I hope to see you there, and come and join the fellowship and leave different than you came in.
All right. And, you know, you may be down in Palm Beach County. It's real easy to jump on 95, come north, get off the South Stewart exit, and you can be at the Grace Place in just a few moments. And you might be north up in the Melbourne area, over around Clewiston or one of those areas. It's not too far to travel. And so, Dave, again, what's the phone number?
At 772-287-6388.
Hey, Dave, we love you, and looking to have a good excuse to drag you and your pastor into the studio here one day, so you know, so we can lift up Jesus together. Pastor Steve Bray is now at the Grace Place, and I know that God is on the move in the body of Christ, and God's on the move at the Grace Place. So make a note, call somebody, let them know what's going on, and let's see things packed out over at the Grace Place this Saturday.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it, and that's what we're praying for.
Blessings. We love you. Take care.
Love you too, buddy.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jonathan, I just sent a text with a picture of what a lost goose looks like to your phone.
Did you?
I did.
Wow, that was so thoughtful of you, because I've heard that said before, but so you did find a lost goose. That's pretty awesome. All right, so Brandon, we have a couple minutes before we get back. And we look to close our day in prayer, just really lifting up families that have been impacted because abortions impacted not only families that have had abortions and men that have been involved, but it impacts our whole nation. Our whole nation is impacted by abortion, and the ground cries out with all of this blood. So, Brandon, what's next? You know, in your life, you came in, you spent a few days with us, and we appreciate that. What's happening? Where are you heading? What's on your target? What's God saying to you? What's in the future? Are you single?
Yes.
Well, I have to ask these questions, you know, because there are females that are looking, you know. So, you know, I'm just thinking about, Karen, help me out. Am I getting into the weeds?
Yes, yes.
I'm getting into the weeds. So, Brandon, what's in the future? I know you're very involved in your church, aren't you? Where's your church?
It's in Port St. Lucie.
Okay. Pastor's name?
His name is Pastor Scott.
Scott, is this, what's the name of the church?
Sunlight Community Church.
Sunlight Community Church. Okay. Good church?
Yes, it's
a great church. You're involved with the youth group, right?
Yes, I am part of Redeem. It's a young adults group, and I'm also part of the tech team.
Tech team. What do you do in the tech team?
Well, what I do is I make sure whenever we're live streaming, pretty much, I make sure that all the slides are there for the announcements and for the sermons and for the lyrics that people are singing of the
good
songs.
Deal.
And even when I go to practice, I don't just do that, but I also tweak around with a soundboard a bit to get experience with it.
Awesome. Awesome. So so what's God putting on your heart to prepare for? I know coming in here, you came in here because you have some interest in developing your gifts.
Of course, yes. Well, aside from that, I have, aside from all this, have been helping, like I said, this man that I work with, his name is Mr. Lovelock. Aside from that, I've been developing that stuff with using music technology equipment. And of course, continuing on my education with music, aside from going to college, but also like learning outside of college as well, where if I ever have time, I go on the internet and read all this stuff and then mess around with the software.
So you're in college now?
Yes, I'm actually also going back as well.
You're going back as well. Okay, and what is your what degree are you looking for?
Bachelor's degree in music production.
Okay. Okay. Do you play instruments?
Yes, I play piano.
You play piano? Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Where's our keyboard? We're going to have to, we're going to end up needing a, you know, a baby grand or something right. in here. We bring, you know, could you play that, play a baby grand? You can probably do that. Huh? Or, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure, sure, sure. Okay, so music production, this is something, and I tell you, worship is so important in the body of Christ, mm-hmm. and it just, I know as a pastor, opening up the heavens and moving people, you know, after being cut off in traffic and fighting their way just to get to church, you know, and showing up and, you know, and then maybe there's a, you know, the dog bit you as you went out the door or you have a flat tire or, you know, you wouldn't understand this yet, Brandon, because you're much too young. But, you know, maybe once you're married, you'll understand that husbands and wives disagree on even how to get to church sometimes. You know, I have wisdom to go on a better route than my wife, you know, sometimes. So, you know, some of these things happen on the way to church, but worship breaks. All of those other things, and it just sets us free to open our heart up and receive from the Lord. So we're very excited about that, excited to have had you with us as well. You've been a real blessing, Brandon, and thank God for the giftings. We see the giftings in your life, and you come in with a heart that out of your heart flows the goodness of God. And you come in here, and you know you're a clean young man, and you'll be a great catch for a young lady. So we'll pray over that as well. All right. So thank you, and I got to come back to Stephanie because we're down to the last couple minutes.
Yes, sir.
And Stephanie, your story: 2 abortions, but it didn't. Satan wasn't able to destroy you.
No. Just like Joseph, I love his story where he says, you know, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. And we don't always see that in the midst of it. I didn't even, that wasn't even on my mind back then.
Yeah.
But I have seen God redeem this. And just sitting here with you, honestly, it's an honor to be able to speak about the gospel and know that it's going out there. I have no idea who's listening, but the men and women that have been wounded by abortion, we've all been touched by it, but we've been wounded, and God is calling you to his side. He wants to love on you and to give you the freedom, not just to speak about it, but to minister to your children differently, to be able to love your husband differently, to be able to love Jesus differently. We there's such a beauty when he gives you the forgiveness of this sin that is at the foot of the cross, just like any other sin.
Amen.
But boy, I'll tell you what, it's a ravaging one that ravages your life.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
You know, I've taken over